Yeah.
Welcome back to another Barnes Bullets podcast. I'm your host, Dale Evans. Today I've got Gregory Sloan and Mitchell Cookson. And as you guys can see, if you're watching the podcast, is we have our new mic stands that everybody was complaining about, that there they couldn't go. See our beautiful faces. I think it was mainly Greg's face, but you're a little bit shorter than us and you sit in a lower chair. You could raise your chair up and then people could see your face a little bit better.
That's true. I don't want to intimidate Mitchell, though.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I sit down lower.
Before we start jumping into what we're going to talk about with this podcast, I want to do a little product shout-out of this new merch that we have on our website. We're going to call this the Elk Patch Hat, I think is what we're calling it. It's a cool hat. We're here in mid-September recording this, so perfect time to show off this hat. It's got an elk there with the Barnes logo, so if you haven't checked out all the new merch that we have on our website, it's at barnesbullets.com. Merchandise, we've got a lot of new shirts and a lot of new hats. So wanted to put that out there. Also, we just set up a new email address that we want people to start sending in their questions to the podcast. And that's going to be podcast@barnesbullets.com. Pretty easy email. So
can they use it to suggest topics or just questions?
I think first off, we'd like to get like any user questions. I mean, it's pretty open. You can also, request photos of Mitchell's goats.
I'll send them.
Potentially. If you got any questions for Alan, if you got any questions for Greg, we could throw those in there. But podcast@barnesbullets.com, you'll be able to send in your questions, user questions. And I think that every couple months we're going to kind of look through there, figure out some questions, depending on how many we get in, and do podcasts strictly on answering consumers' questions. So
that'll be cool. Cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun. So with that, now that we're a couple minutes in, we've got all the things knocked out that we wanted to there. Let's talk about the topic today. And again, we're in mid-September, so hunting season is starting to get in full swing kind of out west, probably about to kick off in, on the East Coast, Midwest, mostly archery seasons except South Carolina and a few others. But we want to talk why you would choose light projectiles or heavy projectiles for your, I think hunting loads is mainly what we want to talk about, right?
Yeah, I think we should mostly focus on hunting for this conversation. Like you said, light versus heavy.
Yeah.
Why one over the other? Where does one shine? We can really deep dive into the why behind this selection, both from a bullet projectile, obviously the weight is what we're considering.
Right.
Whether you're a hand loader or you're shooting our loaded ammunition, you've got to make the decision either way, right? Which bullet should I shoot? Which weight should I shoot? And the why behind it.
Right. And also, I mean, with that, I think that we could probably look through some of our offerings that we have in loaded ammo. We were kind of talking offline as we kind of discussed doing this type of topic, right? Was like, why are some outselling others when there's a better offering out there, So
yeah.
Be it a light load, a heavy load, whatever that it is. So I think that's kind of where we're going to start is let's start with why you would choose a light load in a certain situation. And I guess, if you were only going to have one bullet for your specific caliber cartridge, why would you want to select a light load versus a heavy load?
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear your ballistics thought process from from your side. And then I'd like to hear your engineering brain tell me why he's wrong and you should shoot heavy or vice versa.
I think there's a time and a place for both. I think we can definitely deep dive into that. When you say things like you can only pick one.
Yeah.
Okay. That might change things a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think it's worth addressing up front and we can just... I'm not going to exactly answer your question yet.
Okay.
Because I think it's worth hitting right off the bat of, and we're not only going to talk about the Barnes copper bullets today. TSX, okay. TTSX, LRX. We can talk about lead core as well.
Yeah.
We can talk about some of the TGKs we load in Harvest.
Right. Because, I mean, with Harvest, right, like we loaded a lot of heavy for right. caliber in that lead. So that,
We can talk about the Pioneer, you know, with the original.
Yep.
We have some really heavy for caliber offerings there. Yep. And those are going to be good examples as kind of the why in certain scenarios you would make that choice. And with that, I think it's worth addressing up front, though, with a monolithic copper projectile, you know, that Barnes offers, you know, some great options, be it the TSX, TTSX, LRX, or in the loaded Vortex or Vortex LR ammo, as well as muzzleloader bullets with the, you know, the Barnes copper muzzleloader, the TEZ, the TMZ, the Magnum MZ, the copper pistol bullets with the XPBs. Really, one of the things up front worth mentioning is, obviously, because of the high weight retention that you get with these bullets, they penetrate deep.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a known performance characteristics of a monolithic copper bullet is you get good penetration.
Yeah.
So with that, there's some drawbacks being the material, you know, and Mitchell may want to deep dive into this, but with the density of the material, the copper isn't as dense. It doesn't have a lead core. And then with that big open cavity, we can be longer for a given caliber and weight versus a traditional lead core of the same caliber and weight. So use that to your advantage. You know, right off the bat, you're already getting in penetration. You can step up in weight from what would be considered traditional weight offering for a given cartridge and application, depending on the species that you're going to go hunt. Take that to your advantage. And that's where I would start off by saying the reason, one of the reasons you're going to shoot lighter is because with our copper bullets, you can.
Right.
And it can actually work to your advantage as a benefit to give you better performance. And we can deep dive into why and where, you know. But really, to me, I want to address that is right up front, right off the bat, with the copper bullets, you can get away with a lighter than normal offering and use it to your advantage to actually get performance gains in some areas.
So when you say, quote, lighter than normal, you're putting the normal as a lead core.
Yeah, I'd say traditional. Across,
traditional.
You know, and I think even to that point, a lot of times, I think we as hunters, you know, we can be very traditional.
Right.
We can go off of what we know, what we're comfortable with, and sometimes for good reason. What our dad shot, what our grandpa shot, what we grew up with, what we read, what sounds normal. If I'm shooting a 30-06, I want a 180 grain bullet or a 300 Win Mag, you know, with a 180 grain. And, you know, you could say where the traditional weight for a 270 might be. You know, that one's, there's maybe an argument to be made that 130 is as popular as 140 has ever been. But yeah, that's what I mean by that is compared to a normal traditional cup and core lead core projectile, with a copper projectile, you can get away with lighter and still get good performance because of that weight retention. Once you hit an impact with a lead core bullet, you're shedding more weight.
Right.
Generally.
Yeah.
And so what you're left with could actually be less material than what you started with in comparison to a copper bullet, right? Because you retain more of it.
Yeah. And one thing, it's funny that you brought up a 270 because I was actually over here Googling something because I wanted to prove a point. But we've talked about it multiple times on the podcast, right? I grew up shooting a 270. I hunted with 270 for a long time. And you kind of look at what the, quote, traditional load is for a 270 is like 150 grain bullet. But when I started shooting a 270 and started shooting Barnes 20 plus years ago now, I instantly went to the 130 for whatever reason, right? And it was like, I don't think my mind wrapped around other than it's a lighter bullet, it's going to go faster. And because of understanding what a monolithic can do with that deeper penetration, I was like, I'm still going to get the performance that I need out of it. Why shoot a 150 if I can get away with it for a 130? I've killed elk with it. I've killed whitetails. I've killed hogs, right? I've killed all these different species with it. So it still does it. So. Yeah. It's, I don't want to like give away the ending, if you will, of the podcast, but I always lean to the lighter side of things because I like that performance of speed and I know it's still going to hit hard.
Right? Yeah. Are you saying copper bullets or all bullets in general?
I'm saying copper bullets mainly, right? Is because that's why, again, I go back to it's like I was shooting copper, I was shooting TTSXs, right? So like, I went to 130 grain bullet to load in my 270. And then when I started loading for my 7-rim mag, right, I loaded a 140 instead of loading a 150 or 160. So anyway.
Sure.
go for it, Mitchell. I know you're itching to get in.
Yeah, I got the same opinion. Copper bullets, you can get away with a lot lighter bullet. I think, a popular 6.5 Creedmoor, you have a copper 120 or 127 grain, that's going to retain more weight than a traditional Leadcore 140 grain.
Yeah.
And as I design bullets, it's often, you get requests from guys all the time, they want heavier. They don't understand there's limitations to copper bullets. But a really good case study is the 7PRC.
Yep.
Everyone wanted a heavier bullet. We make 168 grain that works, and everyone thought we were going to load that. Well, we didn't. We loaded a lighter 160 grain.
Developed and loaded, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, you went and developed a bullet specifically for that cartridge.
Right. So I can optimize that for the 7PRC. It has a more aggressive nose shape. It's sleeker. I think both tail lengths about the same, but really fits that 7PRC a lot better. And I actually get a higher BC with the 160 grain, and you get velocity.
Yeah.
So there you have two good things going for you versus the 168 that everyone wants because it's heavier. But when you run ballistics, it's not. And if you think 160 versus 168 in terms of penetration or any real world performance,
it's
not there.
Yeah, and I think there are times, depending on bullet material, where that is kind of more that conventional wisdom, that common thought of you're almost compensating, right? You're making up for lack of robustness, material, and strength of the projectile by shooting heavy for caliber.
Right.
Say like in a cup and core projectile.
Yeah.
Maybe not even realizing that's the why. I think the simple terms a lot, and we hear this when people call in and we talk to people at trade shows and we talk to people on the phone, it's almost like, and I'm not dogging on anybody, I think it's just I'm trying to help educate, but I think there's a lack of understanding. If somebody doesn't really deep dive into ballistics and they're not fully, researching.
They're not shooting it every day like right. you guys
they're
are.
They may just look at the number and think, heavier equals more power.
Right.
Whatever power is, define power however you want to. But in their mind, it's like power, right? We all love higher horsepower engines.
Yeah.
Faster is always better, bigger is always better, more torque, however you want to look at it. Like if you're a truck guy or whatever.
I mean, if you're going to be American, you want bigger is better, right? For everything.
Right. And so for some reason in their mind, and I get why, it's kind of just that normal thought process of, well, the heavier's got to be more powerful, which, again, depending on how that bullet was developed, how it was designed, how it's intended to expand or not expand, retain weight or not retain weight, there are times where you will compensate for lack of construction by purposely shooting a heavier for caliber projectile to get more penetration. Maybe if you're shooting a bullet that's more in the 60-70% weight retention, you're going to step up in weight, and maybe you're telling yourself, I'm also doing it for higher BC. I think Mitchell brought up a good point, though, of the best of both worlds is, can I keep my muzzle velocity up and get good BC? If I'm talking long range shooting and long range hunting, if we're only shooting out to 300 yards, maybe it's not as critical. I think that you brought up a good point there of like the 7PRC, the 160 grain stomps the 168 in BC, yep. Plus it's lighter. You get more muzzle velocity, you get less wind drift, you get more retained velocity downrange. And on top of that, we purposely engineered that bullet to expand to a larger diameter at a low velocity. So it really is, for long range hunting, the best of all aspects.
Yeah.
So the other angle to look at, so the 160 was a very different design bullet. It's interesting to look at like a 30 cal 165 versus a 30 cal 180 grain. Those are the same ogive, aren't they? The TTSX?
In 300 mag version, yeah.
Yeah.
That goes in ammo.
So we're not, all you're changing from the 165 to the 180 grain is 15 grains, and you just add shank length. There's no difference in the boat tail, no difference in the ogive. So those are really the big factors that affect your BC. So when you're stepping up 15 grains in weight, the percent difference in weight is really the percent difference in BC. And oftentimes, muzzle velocity trumps that. You get a higher gain in muzzle velocity going to a lighter projectile, and you still get a good enough BC. And I think that's worth noting as well. You can, if you run ballistics, a lot of the time, lighter bullets do just as well.
Yeah. I mean, It's funny because I feel like you guys are hitting on things. Like as I'm thinking of something to talk about, like you're already kind of like everybody's kind of on the same wavelength here, right? Because that was where I was going. Was like, couldn't you argue that a heavier bullet's going to give you a little bit higher BC? But again, like you said, you're going to lose muzzle velocity, so that gain muzzle velocity is going to almost make up for the BC lost of the weight.
Potentially, right? Yeah. I mean, like Mitchell brought up, the 160 is a more streamlined profile. Yeah. So even though it's lighter, it has a higher BC than our 168 LRX. But you're right. In a normal comparison, generally speaking, the heavier, the higher BC, potentially, depending on its overall shape, boat tail, you know, there's other factors. Weight is one of them, though, that will help in BC. And I'm glad you actually said good enough BC, because that's honestly, like, at the end of the day, like, I like to get technical. Man, I work in a ballistics lab. I get into the numbers, obviously. I'm not the Mitchell engineer, but I'm a pretty technical guy. But when it really comes down to it, I try to look at things, especially when I go to the field. I'm a very practical perspective. And I use this term, and I have for a lot of years, and that's good enough BC. Give me velocity and a bullet with a good enough BC.
Yeah.
I'll take it every day, right? You know, I'm not going to get wrapped around, well, this BC is 25 points higher, but I'm going to lose 200 feet per second muzzle velocity in order to shoot it. Doesn't matter.
Right.
You got to look at it from a practical application perspective. I did think of a story that I want to back up when Mitchell said about the 6.5 and you brought up the 120 grain and the 127. This goes back a long time ago. I'm going to say like 14, 15 years ago. I've talked multiple times about my 6.5 284 Norma on this podcast. You know, people, if you've listened to this, you know that's a favorite of mine. Back then, we did not build a 127 grain LRX. It's before the LRX was offered. That's been one of my favorite projectiles to load in that cartridge. But back then, we didn't build a 127. The 120 grain TTSX was actually fairly newer offering. And then we had the 130 grain TSX.
Okay.
I was going to go hunt elk. It was a cow elk hunt. I had a cow elk tag. I had this 6.5 284 rifle. You know, I was more of a deer gun, but I wanted to go hunt a cow elk with it. And I knew the 120 grain TTSX would work awesome. But my question was like, hey, maybe I should load the 130. You know, we build this 130 grain TSX. I was going to keep shots, you know, I figured potentially 300-400 yards and in. Should I shoot the 120 TTSX or should I shoot the 130 TSX? I was going to hand load, obviously, either way. So I had some time. I decided, hey, I'm going to go test it. So I actually was out in the lab, set up a gel block, I downloaded to simulate like a 200-yard impact velocity. And I loaded up and shot gel, ballistics gel, with a 120 grain TTSX, a 130 grain TSX.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had some old Spear Grand Slam 140 grain lead core, which is a heavy, well-constructed lead core projectile. You know, Grand Slams are not like they're not meant to really fragment. They're meant to mushroom, but really retain weight. You know, it's a good constructed bullet. And so I thought, well, that'll be kind of my baseline. Nobody's going to bat an eye on, hey, I'm going to shoot an elk with 140 grain Grand Slam.
Yeah.
So I shot gel with all three.
Mm-hmm.
And the 120 TTSX out-penetrated the 140 grain Grand Slam, which is pretty awesome when you think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Because 140 grain is going to have a higher sectional density. In theory, it should penetrate deep. Grand Slam has a high weight retention. It's not a fragmenting bullet. The 130 TSX looked good. It performed awesome. The Grand Slam looked good. I'm not going to say it didn't look good. But it was amazing because that little 120 penetrated further than the 140, still more penetration, plenty of penetration for an elk, got huge expansion, big wound cavity, and I actually liked its performance over the 130 TSX as far as the gel cavity.
Yeah.
And so it helped me give me confidence, hey, I'm going to go load this and shoot an elk. So I did. Ended up killing a cow elk at 400 yards, put it in this shoulder. It exited this shoulder. It dumped it and take two steps. Everything in between was tore up. You know, and so there you go. Somebody might say, hey, 6.5 is on the small side for elk. 120 grains definitely on the light side for a 6.5, you know, diameter bullet.
Right.
But based off that experience 15 plus years ago, I just thought there's a firsthand example of you would think that's lighter, but I took it to my advantage, got muzzle velocity up a little bit flatter shooting. The TTSX had a good BC, especially compared to a 130 TSX and a 140 Grand Slam. So I also had the BC on my advantage for wind drift and retained velocity. So
as you're talking about this, this makes me think of something that I wanted to ask about. Recently, I sent Brady some ammo to test. You know, we're doing that mountain goat hunt here next month, and he's shooting a 6.5 PRC. So I shot him, or I sent him both the 127 LR, mm-hmm. right, long range ammo, and then I also sent him the 6.5 PRC 130 grain TSX.
Yeah.
For the mountain goat hunt, what would be your thought, knowing that the shots shouldn't be further than 300 yards, knowing that they're pretty tough critters, that you want that quote knockdown pack out type of performance, right? That because that's one thing with mountain goats is you don't want them to run because potentially right. they fall off a cliff or something like that, right? You're trying to knock them down in their tracks. What would be your recommendation for Brady, for me to tell Brady as we go further? I mean, I know that they're both going to probably perform pretty dang well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I look back and it's like our 6.5 PRC 127 is crushing, right? Like it does really, really well. We sell it well. But the 130 doesn't really sell that well. So my initial thought was like, the 130 is going to be fine. And it's a way for us to help promote that a little bit more. Like, what's your thoughts on it?
So first I'll just add, the 130 TSX that I'm referring to is actually the flat base version.
Okay.
That's a component. The 130 TSX that we load in the 6.5 PRC ammo is a boat tail version.
Okay.
So that is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But just anyways, back to your question.
I mean, because I'm looking at BC over here, right? And mm-hmm. and you look at it and it's like 0.468 for the 127 with like a point, making sure that I get my numbers correct, 0.411.
Yeah.
With the 130.
This would be my suggestion. And you're right. You hit it already. They're both going to work.
Yeah.
If I knew, and you never can know, but you always can put limits on yourself, the terrain you're hunting them in, where are they hanging out? If you've done scouting, you know, more than likely, are you going to be less than 400 yards?
Yeah.
Or do you have an opportunity that you could potentially have a shot outside of 400 yards? If you were going to shoot 500, potentially 600 yards on a mountain goat with a 6.5 PRC, I would suggest the 127.
Yeah.
It's a higher BC. It's going to do better to retain velocity. It's going to have less wind drift with a 468 BC versus a 411.
Right.
They're close enough in weight. You're not a huge advantage to velocity, but there is a big enough advantage in BC.
Yeah.
And the 127 being an LRX is designed to expand to a larger diameter at a lower velocity versus the 130. If you're like, you know what, I'm not going to shoot past 300 yards, and I just want to go as heavy as I can, you know, you could argue mountain goats are tough.
Yeah.
You know, they're not necessarily big animals, but they're known to be tough. And I'd say, hey, shoot the 130 TSX.
Yeah. I mean, to me, they're very dense animals, right? And they're front end dense. And that's obviously where you're shooting as well. So that's why I looked at it. And I mean, my thought also was like with the TSX, right? It's known for a little bit faster expansion. We've already talked about that on a podcast in the past, right? Is that it's going to have a little bit faster expansion than like an LRX, if I'm remembering correctly how we kind of spoke with that, right?
It's just they both expand quickly.
Yeah.
The TSX will have higher weight retention at high velocity.
Got it.
It's going to expand to a smaller diameter at a lower velocity compared to an LRX.
Okay.
You know, if you impacted a mountain goat at 100 yards at 6.5 PRC velocity, you could shed a pedal on an LRX.
Right.
Where on a TSX, you're more likely going to have full weight retention.
Okay.
And again, that's more designed 300 yard and in, I'd shoot the 130 green.
Well, and the reason that I say that, you know, I would say for most mountain goats, right, if you were just drawing a tag and going on a hunt and everything, a lot of times that people are probably going to say a 500 yard shot's probably not going to be out of the question.
Right.
But being that we are going to Alaska, being that we're doing a guided hunt and all that, and speaking with the outfitter, right, that was one of the things that he said. He's like, I want the shots to be 300 yards and in because I want to pin those animals. I want to make sure. And he's like, if we can get to 100 yards, we're going to damn sure try to get to 100 yards.
Right.
Because it takes so many things out of the equation. So, sorry, kind of...
It's a good question. I honestly... And send them both and let them shoot both.
Well, and that was my thought, right? It's like, hey, I'll send you some. You shoot them. You, like, go hunt with what you want.
They're both
I'm not going to, like... force you to shoot one specific thing. But, you know, I would love for you to be able to shoot this 130 just because I think that it gives an opportunity for us to show something that probably hasn't been getting near the love that these other things have.
One good thing on that 130 I can say, and the one this isn't to take away from the 127 and the 6.5 PRC, that Vortex LR load shoots awesome. But that 130 grain TSX in the Vortex load, it flat out shoots. Like from an accuracy standpoint, just in our test barrels in the range when we're producing that ammo, that load can shoot. It's just pretty forgiving.
Yeah, I remember the first time we launched that was right around COVID timeframe, and out of accuracy, PV barrels, it was just shooting stupid groups. And PV barrels are kind of hit or miss, just the way they're mounted. They're not meant to shoot accuracy well. They're kind of just snugged up to shoot pressure and velocity. But when he was getting half-inch groups consistently across PV barrels, ACK barrels, rifles, and I don't know, from a design standpoint, when you design bullets, it's no different from anything else. But sometimes you just get a magic bullet that has the right ogive shape and the right bearing surface to diameter ratio, and for whatever reason it works out and it just is super forgiving. But that thing is a shooter.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to pin it, get it exactly in the shoulder, you know, if he shoots both loads and shoots 3/4 inch with the 127, but shoots half or better with the 130,
right,
all else being equal.
And like you said, you're hopefully going to keep him within 300 yard shots.
Yeah.
That 130 is probably a good choice.
Okay. I feel like we just kind of like jumped right into like deeper conversations rather than letting you go.
That's all good.
Light and heavy. But with that, you know, we have in our 308, right? We've got three different weights for that 130, 150, and 168. Why would you choose the 130 over the 150 over the 168 or vice versa?
Good one. It's a good question. This is one that I think really depends on your game. Now, again, we've already talked about this. They're all copper bullets.
Yeah.
They're all going to have good weight retention. But 130 grain TTSX is a very short shanked bullet. A lot of the weight in that projectile, because of the caliber being so large at 30 caliber, it's mostly in the nose. It's mostly in the ogive. That bullet expands very well. You're not left with a ton of shank left, right? And it's only 130 grain, 30 cal. The sectional density is quite low. They don't penetrate, you know, super deep. I mean, they do penetrate deep. You're blown right through a deer.
Yeah.
But
do you feel like it would be light on an elk side?
I think it'd be light. Perfect.
Like outside 200 yards or so?
Yeah. And not that you couldn't do it. Like my suggestion throughout when the 130 grain is an awesome load. It's an awesome deer load. It's high velocity. You know, most people don't associate 308 wind with velocity. You can look at it right there, but I think our box velocity is like 31, 3125, somewhere right in there.
3125.
3125. I told you, I got a lot of numbers in his head. I don't know what they mean, but yeah, 3125. That's smoking fast.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's like, oh, 6.5 Creedmoor. It's a 308 wind with a 130 grain going 3125.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't have a ton of BC. But if you're going to shoot deer out of 300 yards, antelope, whitetail, mule deer, that 130 is awesome. It shoots flat. It shoots fast. It expands awesome. Now, if I'm going to go hunt elk with a 308, it's not going to be my choice. You know, this is a good example of where I would err on the side of more traditional weight, 150, maybe even 168 grain. I know I talked to you both this morning, was showing off pictures. My niece had a youth elk tag in Utah just this past weekend. She killed a bull just a couple days ago. She used a 308, you know, with a suppressor, lightweight. It was a Savage ultralight with the carbon barrel. We wanted something that was capable on elk.
Yeah.
She's only a 12-year-old girl, hasn't done a ton of shooting. You know, she doesn't need to shoot a 7 PRC or a 300 Win Mag.
Right.
We knew the shots were going to try to keep as close as possible, you know, so she could have good success, but put a suppressor on it. And I actually had helped sight in the gun, and I went with the 168 TTSX.
Okay.
It shot good in that gun. I'm thinking she's shooting elk with a 308. You know, let's give her, you know, as much added benefit as we can from a, from a weight perspective. But it's not like I got to go load a 180 grain bullet because I'm going to hunt elk with a 308 win. You know, 168's plenty heavy enough, ton of weight retention, good sectional density. That 168 TTSX expands really well across the velocity range. And it worked awesome. She ended up killing a bull. I think she hit it somewhere around 150 yards.
Nice.
Behind the shoulder. It went maybe 30 yards. It was dying. My brother had to hurry and do a follow-up shot. She put it in the neck, and it just dumped it.
Nice.
So
it's awesome.
Now, could she have killed that bull with a 150 grain TTSX? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Could she have killed it with a 130? Probably. You know? Absolutely. But that's where I'm going to err more on. 308 win on a bull elk. I'm going to be in that 150 to 168.
Well, and I think, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head as we started to talk about that, right? Is like, I know I started the conversation with it. If you were only going to be able to pick one, would you pick light or heavy? But I think that there's always the, you know your intended game.
Yeah.
Right. Or what you're hunting, let's say 90% of the time. And then go with what makes sense for you.
Well, and I think there's a balance. Yeah. You know, Mitchell started hitting on this, and you even brought this up. Like, all things considered, what is my cartridge? You know, what's the velocity range of that cartridge? You know, we'll talk one here in a minute. I know we kind of talked offline, the 7M Rem Mag.
Yeah.
We've got some good choices there. Right. And there's some pretty good opinions as to why you'd pick one over the other.
Yeah.
A little bit different scenario than a 308 win on that one.
Yeah.
That I would argue. But anyways, it's a balance of good enough BC. We already talked about that. Muzzle velocity. Where's that trade-off? You know, I mean, if you're giving up 200-400 feet per second muzzle velocity to gain very minimal in BC, you know, and I'm never going to shoot past 400 yards, you're kind of missing it.
Right.
You know, you could spin it the other way. You know, I have examples. I've talked about my 300 Win Mag that I built with a 1-8 twist specifically to shoot the 208 grain LRX. You know, it's a great bullet. It's a super high BC. It's designed to expand at low velocity. You know, if you really want to push the limits with long range hunting in a 300 Win Mag or any 30 caliber Magnum, that 208 grain LRX it's awesome.
Well, I mean, and you could even go further, right? Like in with the reserve and doing doing the Super Wisdom, right?
Yeah.
With the 300 Super Wisdom with the 212. I mean, you start doing the math on that, right? And it quickly becomes a 600-800 yard gun. And it's like, that doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah. And you've gone so far the other way.
Right.
The 212 exactly. Bull Rider has a BC of what, like 0.705 G1?
And, 705.
And that retained velocity and energy downrange.
Right. And so you don't need 3,200 feet per second from the muzzle to get the gain. It's efficient enough at 2850.
Yeah.
Okay. So there, again, very different scenario. Yeah. Then, hey, which bullet weight are you going to choose in 308 win?
Right.
There's another thing I think we should bring up. And that's, I kind of mentioned briefly more the extreme on the heavy for caliber with my 208 grain. There are times and examples, and I've done it personally, and I've talked to a lot of people over a lot of years that have great success with Barnes copper bullets, pushing them lightning fast and going super light for caliber. I mean, we get guys, and we even like joke about it to a point because they go almost so extreme. But let's talk like 110 grain TTSX loaded in a even 30-06, maybe even 300 Win Mag. 110 grain 270.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a product that we actually have in Vortex. We offer now 110 grain TTSX in 270 Win. It's a newer offering. You can pull it up there. I think muzzle velocity on that one's, I'm just guessing right here, but I'm going to say it's like 33. I'll wait until you pull it up.
Were you going to say something, Mitchell?
I was going to guess, but it was way higher than what Greg said.
Maybe so it's like 35. I could be way wrong. Okay. I should have just waited.
I think you said 35 yesterday, but
I could have.
That seems too high.
Anybody's final answer?
I'm too low.
33.50.
Higher.
Yeah.
34.10.
34.10.
That's smoking.
Yeah. So, but because it's copper, it's not going to hit bone and muscle and just completely bomb, you know, and have zero integrity to that bullet. That bullet is designed to function at the high velocity. You get crazy lightning fast. Your flat shooting is all get out. Now, it's a low BC bullet. That bullet is not designed for 500, 600, 700, 800 yard shots on game. But if you want a point and shoot, super flat, super fast,
300 yards and in
for deer and antelope and whitetail, you're going to flatten stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's going to hit. It's going to expand like crazy. You're still going to penetrate. You still have the integrity because it's a monolithic solid. And so it's kind of the example on the other way. You know, we've had guys load 110 grain TTSXs and 300 WSMs. We get guys that call in and want data for 110 grains and a 300 Ultramag. You know, okay, maybe they're getting a little carried away there. But it's just kind of the example on the other end of the spectrum of where you can use it to your advantage, you know, to get the benefits of shorter time of flight, flat shooting, high velocity. Okay, I don't need to worry that I don't have some crazy high BC because I'm not going to shoot past 400 yards anyways.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the benefits of a flat shooting solution all the way to 300 or 400 yards, you know, that's going to hit like crazy when it gets there too.
Yeah. I think that's overlooked so often.
Oh yeah.
Even myself, I just built a 7 PRC. I'm looking at the box that I was sighting it in today, and it's got 6 inches of drop at 300 yards, which isn't a ton, but I just had a stupid 6.5 300 I had. I mean, it was like 2-3 inches of drop.
Right.
And you don't have to compensate at all for a really long time. Now, it has a much lower BC, but when you're dialing, there's so much less air.
Yeah, just like because it's flat shooting.
A right. 7 PRC or 300 PRC, they're kind of big rainbows, but you get very minimal wind drift. You have higher retained velocity and energy, but as far as drop, faster, it's always going to, to a point, but generally fast and light is going to be a lot flatter shooting. It's going to have more drift, but even a super high BC projectile, like the 300 PRC, 208 grain, the thing drops like a tank.
So, I mean, you talk about the higher velocities and the retained velocity downrange, right? Like, that's where my head went, you know, and this was, again, 10 plus years ago when I started kind of reloading for myself and everything else. And I definitely did not know near what I know today about ballistics or anything else. But I was like, I know that most of my shots are 300 yards and in. So why wouldn't I shoot a lighter bullet that's still going to hit hard? And I don't, you know, I used to just always sight my stuff in it dead on at 200. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm an inch and a half to 2 inches low at 3. Big deal. Don't have to worry about any holdover. Don't worry about, I mean, I never had a dial scope or anything like that on turrets, right? It was just, oh, I need to hold high shoulder at 300 or 350. And then anything less than that, it's just dead on and you just knock it down where you need to. Because again, I'm a shoulder shooter and that's what I want. So that's, you know, why I started shooting copper even way back then.
Well, and like Mitchell just reminded me of this thought when you said your 6.5 300, and that was a 6.5 300 Win Mag custom rifle. But I remember when Weatherby launched their 6.5 300 Weatherby cartridge and their rifles, and they actually started loading, and they still load our 127 grain LRX as one of the offerings, one of the bullet offerings in that ammo line.
In that cartridge.
Yeah, I mean, it's something like 3,500, give or take.
Screaming.
I remember doing a rider event way back when we did out at a range. And one of the riders had brought along, it was Joseph von Benedict, he brought along a Weatherby rifle they just sent him, he was doing some work with. Mm-hmm. And just, we had some extra time after the event, so he broke it out. We were shooting it, because I'd never shot one. It was like brand new. And he had some of those 127s. And we were pretty limited on shots, because like he only had so much ammo.
Yeah.
You know, it's super high. But I remember shooting it. You know, we shot it like 300 yards, and we were out at our outdoor range, so we had a steel target at 1,000 yards. And I remember we dialed up, you know, we're just rough doing some numbers. He hadn't shot this gun past like 200-300 yards. We ended up being something like 15 or 16 MOA is all adjustment to get to 1,000 yards zero.
Crazy.
Which if you've shot a long, any amount of long range, you know, that's like crazy flat.
Yeah.
So to your point, you know, the 127 doesn't have the highest BC. It's good. It's good enough BC. It's high force. But when you start launching at 3,500 feet per second, all of a sudden you're in a whole other realm of performance.
Yeah, for sure.
It's one last thing to think about too, kind of almost like the antelope gun concept, just point and shoot.
Right.
So under quick shots, high stress, just point and shoot, or like I'm taking my wife out just in, I guess, 3 weeks on her elk hunt. It'd be nice to have a flatter shooting rifle, just pull up and shoot. I don't want to, at 300 yards, I don't want to tell her, okay, dial 2 MOA. I'd rather just say, okay, shoot it.
Right.
So.
I mean, what's your thoughts on just making the zero at 300, and then, you know, if it's within 300, it's just like, basically it's the difference of holding on its heart or just holding mid shoulder.
Yeah. That's actually what I did today.
Okay.
Our box is zero at 200. You're 1.3 high at 100, 6 inches low at 300. So I just cranked it up at 100. So I'm maybe 2 inches high. Yeah. I haven't seen what my true zero is. It's probably more like 250.
Yeah.
And your drop at 300 is maybe reduced to 3 inches.
That's what I actually like. So at that point,
right, like it's basically you could hold center of the shoulder, if you would, on an elk, you know, at 300 yards, and it's probably going to hit into its, let's call it its heart slash lower part of its shoulder. Or if you needed to, you could say hold high shoulder, and it's going to just center mass it, right?
Yeah. What I like to do, and kind of what you just got to, and it depends the setup, right? If I've got a, you know, you mentioned an antelope gun. If I've got a scope that's kind of more what I'm going to say old school, maybe it's a higher power optic, but I don't have modern turrets that are resettable to zero and, you know, have indicators of how many MOA have come up or anything like that. Yeah. It's like old school. Like I want to be able to shoot 300-400 yards. I am going to go with the more like 300 yard zero.
Yeah.
But I need a flat shooting cartridge to get me there.
Right.
Otherwise your mid range, you're just too high. I never want to think about in the field, I got to hold low.
Right.
That's just, my mind doesn't go there. Yeah. My mind can go, I got to hold high.
Right.
You know, when it's out there 400 yards,
yeah,
hold on its back or depending on the drop. But my mind never, it's just me. I don't work in hold low.
Yeah.
And so what I actually do with even my modern long range rifles and hunting rifles, I'm a 100 yard zero guy, no matter what. That doesn't mean that you have to hunt with it on 100 yard zero, but I base everything off 100 yard zero. That's my zero stops at 100 yards. That's what my drop date is all based off of. I run everything off 100 yard zero. And one reason is I can get a very consistent zero. I can check that zero anywhere.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're traveling, where you're going, you can always generally find 100 yards to check your gun versus 300 yards.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that advantage. And you have your drop data, whether it's a chart or you got your app on your phone or it's tied into your rangefinder, you know, or your Garmin or your watch or however you're doing it.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to walk around with it on 100 yard and say, crap, I'm going to drop 10 inches at 300 yards. I just dial for 225, 250. And then I know within an acceptable margin of error of the vital zone of a target.
Yeah.
For me to 300 yards, I just point shoot.
Right.
I don't need to think about holding low. I don't need to think about holding high. And then anything past 300 yards, I'm ranging, dialing for the correction, and making that shot.
So well, you dial like 2 MOA or something?
Yeah, so I'll like
walk around with it.
Walk around. Yeah. Basically, it's based off 100 yard zero, you know, but I'll be dialed for like a 250 yard shot.
And then you just walk.
I just walk around with that. If I'm in the field, my turret's actually set for a 200 to 250 yard zero, depending on the cartridge, how flat it is. And then I know from me to 300 yards, I don't even have to think about it.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting concept. I think that, you know, I go back to like having Jess, right? And she hasn't shot a lot. She hasn't killed a lot of animals. So, I mean, I think my mind kind of goes where you went is like, if I can just set it up at 300 yards, knowing that like anything inside of that, it's dead.
Yeah.
Right. And knowing that more than likely, you're probably going to hold her to a 300-ish type of yard shot anyway. Right. So I think it makes a lot of sense there, but like that's an interesting concept to like walk around with it essentially cranked up a little bit or you know, giving it a little bit of your MOA.
Yeah, there you go. And to this argument and conversation of light for caliber, that's where if it is super flat shooting, you do have your 110 grain TTSX in a 270.
Yeah.
Or you decide to hand load a 139 grain LRX in your 7 PRC instead of shooting our 160, which I'm not saying you do that, but you could. You can have it at 300 yard zero, and it's easy, right? Yeah. A lot of guys, they want simplicity.
Yeah.
They don't want to have to think about it. They don't want to dial turrets. They don't want to have to understand MOA or have anything like that. They want to be able to just know that I'm zeroed at 300 yards. I'm going to hold on its back out to 400, depending on how flat shooting it is, that kind of thing.
Well, and one thing to talk about that, right, is I recently went on the caribou and the sheep hunt and stuff, and I was shooting 257 Weatherby for both of those. Well, I had a 300-yard zero because inside of 300 yards, I think my highest point was only like 2 inches high anywhere, but then I also had a turret on it that I had quick adjustments. I was shooting a Swaro, what is it, Z5 or whatever, mm-hmm, with the ballistic turret, and I had that one. It has like three little notches that you can just turn it to, and I had it for 350, 400, and then 450, and then I knew that another six clicks got me to five. So that was just an easy way that, you know, because once you get past that 300 yards, it starts dropping off pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a couple inches every 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was like, I want every 50 yards. I want, like, because that doesn't really show you your clicks. It's not like regular MOA, right? Because it's a Saguaro. So I just made it where it's like every 50 yards I did it. And then I checked it on the sheep hunt, like in the middle of it, and ended up shooting like a 500 yard target and like smacked it just like clicking. I was like, okay, we're still good.
Yeah.
And then went on the caribou hunt, you know, and crushed. So what do you got next? Do you want to start talking about 7-rim mag?
I kind of want to jump into 7-rim mag. I have some very strong opinions about our 7-rim mag offerings.
Okay.
Let's go. Unless Mitchell has anything to jump in with.
So with our 7-rim mag, let's just talk about all the different offerings we have and why, for whatever reason, some drastically outsell the others.
Yeah. Why you're... Well, go ahead.
Okay. Do we want to go all the way down to reduced recoil or not? Do you want to just do standards?
We can add it. It's all good.
So we have a reduced recoil at 120, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have 139 grain LRX.
Yeah.
We have a 140 and 150 in regular Vortex and a TTSX and then a TSX at 160 grain. And then we'll also kind of throw in that we have Harvest Collection at 150 grain for your lead.
Yeah.
So, which I would say the 150 grain Harvest is, quote, your standard
right
7-rim mag.
Yeah, this is one that's interesting because outside of the reduced recoil at 120 grain, I would say that our 139 grain LRX loaded in the Vortex LR all the way to the 160 grain TSX loaded in Vortex, they're all still in a fairly standard weight class. Right.
Yep.
We're not talking 110 grain TTSX at 3,500 plus. You know, these are still fairly normal weights, right? 139, you know, there's lead core 139 offerings in 7mm.
Yeah.
So we're not like crazy light for caliber, but this one's an interesting one from the guys who developed the loads, built the bullets, test them, because the reason being the 139 is an awesome load. It's an LRX bullet, which I love the LRXs.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way they expand. They expand to a larger diameter to lower velocity, which I enjoy that performance. I've seen where it does great, especially the type of hunting I do. You know, I'm not some crazy go out and try to kill an animal at 1,000 yards by any means, but I regularly encounter 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 yard shots. So when I think about those offerings in our loaded ammo,
yeah,
I bring it up, and I already mentioned I have strong opinions because we know based off of sales that our 150 grain and our 160 grain very much outsells our 139 grain.
Yeah.
And I find that super interesting. I mean, I'm not trying to bash on either of those products because they're great products, but I can tell you which one I'd shoot.
I can tell you which one I'd shoot.
Yeah. Which one would you shoot, Mitchell? He would probably shoot the 160.
I'd do the 139. I have shot the 140 grain. Actually, my first elk, I killed it with that.
And okay.
It didn't get a pass-through, which I was a little... I guess I wasn't upset because I recovered two bullets. It was really cool.
I was going to say, how far did the elk go?
I shot it. It hunched up. I shot it again. It dropped.
Right.
It was at 300 yards. But, I mean, 100% of the energy went into it. I exactly. hit it in the shoulder. But I would like two holes. So I want to say 139 because it's a LRX. But just based on my experience, I didn't get an exit. But I hit shoulder.
But you shot it with the 140.
Yeah. So it is a different bullet.
Right.
I don't know.
So this is where I'm going to go with this. And again, a guy could argue, hey, if I'm going to hunt elk with a 7-rim mag, I want heavy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shoot the 150 and I'm going to shoot the 160.
Before we get in this, do we have any recent, like historical sales data versus recent sales data, because I would like to see if there's been a shift in the past, let's call it 2 to 3 years.
I don't have any.
Because that's where I think that you could have potentially seen this shift, right? Because I know where you're going with this,
mm-hmm.
but I'll let you go ahead and go. But no. I think that there could be a potential shift of that's why certain thing like the 160 yeah. right is
so Mitchell brings up a fair argument. If you absolutely want to pass through on an elk size game
mm-hmm.
with a 7-rim mag, that's where you could make the argument the 150 TTSX and especially the 160 grain TSX is going to be your best option. I mean, if that's what you're after. But I bring this up Because I've seen examples where we've participated in a rider event. I'll call it, this is many years ago. We were doing some work with Remington Custom Shop, and they were doing it at a long range training school. So keep in mind, this isn't even hunting, right? Mm-hmm. Now they're using hunting ammunition.
Right.
But the application, the purpose of the training was long range shooting. Now it was geared towards from a hunter's perspective. They're using hunting equipment.
Okay.
But they had custom 7 Rem Mag rifles. And you know, they looked at the ammunition offerings and automatically just went to the 160 grain. And I think it's because kind of that traditional kind of normal thought process, conventional wisdom, whatever you want to call it, well, it's heavier. It's got to be better for long range. But it's interesting because the 139 grain LRX loaded in the Vortex LR ammo has a higher BC than the 160 grain. And it's a boat tail version that's loaded in the 7 Rem Mag, TSX. And it's not dramatically, but it's like 0.47 versus 0.443. It's enough to make a difference, especially when you start looking at past 500 yards.
Yeah.
And so if you think at it from a perspective of we're doing a long range training school, we're going to be hitting steel targets beyond 500 yards.
Right.
You know, you really got to take a step back and consider all the performance characteristics, all the factors. So the 139 is obviously a much higher muzzle velocity. Plus you have higher BC. We already talked about this earlier. So you have the best of both worlds there to have less wind drift, less time of flight, less bullet drop.
Right.
And outside of your, which is a valid point, you know, if you want that objective of a pass-through guaranteed on elk, you know, I would say outside of that scenario, hands down, I would select the 139 over the 160.
I think a lot of people, too, one of the biggest complaints we get is that it does pass through.
Right.
People want it to put all the energy into the animal. So if you're that type of guy, that you want to shoot a lighter bullet, too.
Well, and there's also the benefit of, especially with the TSXs. You know, we've already talked about the difference of TSX versus TTSX versus LRX in a previous podcast and kind of the generalized application of those. Especially with the TSXs, though, I would argue lighter for caliber, especially within 300 yards, you're going to get higher muzzle velocity, higher impact velocity, you know, less drop, shorter time of flight, and the bullet's going to expand to a larger diameter, which is going to create a bigger wound cavity. You know, so unless you're specialized applications of very large game where penetration is everything, you know, that's when I think, and on top of that, it's a copper bullet.
Right.
So even though it's lighter than the traditional lead core that you're comparing it to, it's still going to have good penetration.
And I go back to, it's like, you know, I was shooting 140 grain. I've killed an elk with it as well. And I'm almost positive I didn't get pass through penetration, but I shot an elk in the shoulder and he dropped where he was. So it's like, it did exactly what I needed to do. One thing that I started looking at, and you kind of hit on it with, you know, shorter time of flight, right? But like, I mean, it's almost 300 feet per second faster to shoot that 139 versus the 160. I mean, that's a big difference, especially when you start talking about having your drop, right? And if you're a shooter that's not really shooting past 300 or 400 yards, I mean, again, to go back to Mitchell's point, to go back to your point about, you know, having holdover, having to, you know, make a couple adjustments or something like that to shoot 300 yards if you want to be a 100 yard zero guy or a 200 yard zero guy, whatever it is. I mean, that makes a big difference to me.
Yeah.
And I would rather have that faster speed and know that it's still going to penetrate, but maybe you don't get the complete pass through. But at the same time, I mean, maybe you will. But I would ask, did you shoot your elk in the shoulder both times?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I did the same thing, right? So now you're talking bull elk at, you said 300-ish yards.
300.
And yep. I think I shot mine at like 225, 250, something like that. And I shot mine in the shoulder, right? And it still just dropped exactly
where
it was.
You're very much, maybe you didn't pass through, and I get why you want that. I prefer two holes as well.
But you could have done that if you would have shot it behind the shoulder.
And probably. You're still getting adequate penetration.
Right.
right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's still reaching vitals. It's breaking through bone. It's not stopping on the onside and fragmenting and coming apart and not reaching the vitals. But back to your two, this the 160 grain and the 139 grain and the 7 rem mag, it's interesting. I have some numbers pull up here. At 500 yards, and this is based off of muzzle velocity, box velocity, at standard conditions as far as MET data. At 500 yards, the 139 grain is retaining and traveling just shy of 2,200 feet per second. It's 2,192. And that 139 grain LRX is going to get good expansion at 2,200 feet per second. The 160 TSX has dropped below 2,000. It's going 1,982. So again, if we talk about long-range hunting, and I don't want to just talk about long-range hunting, but there's times where it comes up, and you might see where a guy says, well, the barns don't expand as well at low velocity. Well, which bullet are you using? It's unfair, really, to go compare a TSX that was really designed for 300 yards and in. And there's rare exceptions. You know, we've talked about the 162 grain TSX boat tail that we developed for the 28 Nosler. That's a special exception.
Yeah.
Right. There's some of those that are outside the norm. But generally speaking, as a family, TSX bullets aren't designed necessarily for 500-600 yard hunting. The LRX is.
Right.
You know? So again, it's your application. If your goal is bull elk and 200-300 yards is your further shot, then maybe you can make the argument why the 160 is a better choice.
Yeah.
If your goal is bull elk at 500-600 yards, all day long I'm gonna take the 139.
Well, and as you were kind of looking at that and you're looking at velocity, I'm looking at retained energy, right? Yeah. So one thing that I think is kind of interesting is that the 160 at 500 yards is just below 1,400 foot-pounds of energy, right? It's 1,396, where that 139 is 1,452. So lighter bullet is still carrying more energy at 500 yards.
Because it's traveling faster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna blow a lot of people's minds here. When we're running these calculations and you look at the back end math, 139 and 160 grain going into the math, it doesn't do anything to the trajectory, the drift, the drop, anything. It's the only number that goes into is the energy. So you have to look at BC.
Yep.
You can, I mean, try it at home. Take your ballistic app, look at your drop. Change your grain weight from 160 to 300 or 10 grains. It doesn't change your drop, doesn't change your drift. The only thing that goes into the calculation is BC. So you talk about that long range shooting school, and those guys are saying, hey, I want the 160 grain. It's going to have less drop and have more retained energy. No, you got to look at the BC. Right. Grain weight means nothing. Grain weight goes into the energy,
right?
But is in terms of the math on the ballistic calculator is 100% BC for drop and drift, which surprisingly a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because you're absolutely right. And again, you have the added benefit of not only higher BC on this example with a much higher muzzle velocity.
Right. Yeah.
So in the application of long range shooting, why would you ever pick the 160 grain in a 7 rem mag? In the Vortex ammo over the 139.
We're not saying not to buy that ammo as well, right?
It's just change.
It's application dependent.
Right, it is.
And that's one thing that we always try to explain to people is that, I mean, I even go back to when we launched Harvest, right? Is why in the hell would you guys ever launch Harvest? Because we're loading lead. We're not telling you to change. It's just, this is for a different application and we're just trying to give people options. And that's why we have 4 or 5 different loads for a 7 rem mag is because we want to give people the option to do different things depending on their hunting application or shooting application.
Right. I think that's a good point to transition real quick too into why do we go heavy for caliber sometimes?
Yeah.
You talked about Harvest. You know, some of those, especially if you said, hey, some of these are just whitetail, other thin skin game,
right?
Why would you load 180 grain in a 30-06, or why would you load, you know, 140 grain in a 6.5 Creedmoor?
Mm-hmm.
And some of that was, you know, the load worked well. That's where we got good accuracy.
Yep.
Some of that was we are now offering a lead core bullet,
right?
You know, we wanted to differ from our copper offerings.
Well, it's kind of funny because for the longest time, right, when we were essentially only doing copper, if you will. I know that we weren't, Mitchell, don't jump on me like you did on that guy on YouTube about that. But, you know, when we were quote a copper bullet manufacturer and that's all we did for loaded ammo, is everybody's like, I want heavier, I want heavier. So then we went heavier on harvest, and they're like, why'd you go so heavy? And it's like, hold on a second. Like, you guys were just preaching something else.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't win.
I know.
Sometimes you can't win. No, but that really, I mean, a little bit of that was, we are now loading this lead core bullet.
Yeah.
Let's offer something that differs, not only in material, but weight offerings. Okay, we have a great 120 grain 6.5 Creedmoor load in the Vortex with the TTSX.
Yeah.
We have an awesome 127 grain LRX in the Vortex LR. This allows us to load 140 grain.
Right.
Yeah, it's lead core, but now we have an offering in that weight class that we didn't before, just to broaden our portfolio and you know, catalog of offerings.
Well, and I would almost argue as well that, you know, I know that some people will get mad at me internally for this, but we are a hunting ammunition company, right? Like, that is kind of our bread and butter.
Right.
So with that, we think about penetration probably a heck of a lot more than, let's say, other people might.
Yeah.
And we want that, you know, one of our taglines is knockdown, packout champion. We want that knockdown, you know, power, if you will. So by offering these heavier for caliber loads, you're going to probably achieve a lot more of that. So, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense with harvest. And then also, right, it goes into what you guys did with Pioneer of offering some heavy, like very heavy for caliber stuff. So if you, do you want to talk about some of these Pioneer offerings that we have as well?
Yeah. So I mentioned this earlier, but from a material perspective, one of the disadvantages of copper is it's not as dense of a material, right? So it means, which means for the same caliber and weight, you're going to be longer. Right, so the projectile is going to be longer to achieve that given weight for caliber. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In copper. Meaning if I want to hit a certain weight class in a handgun offering, for example, Pioneer, or in a lever gun offering, I can't always get there with copper and fit in magazines or stay within SAMI cartridge raw length or stabilize in a conventional twist. We already talked about material too. Sometimes we compensate for the lack of the robustness of the material design by going heavier. In a lead core and any bullet, but we already talked about that, it's going to increase sectional density by going heavier for caliber.
Yeah,
It's going to increase penetration, right? The originals that are loaded in Pioneer are designed to have decent weight retention. They're not bonded, but they are thicker jackets. They're not a bullet that just fragments.
Right.
They will mushroom, but they don't just break apart.
Yeah.
They're designed to hunt big game. And so with that, we wanted to hit those weight classes that traditional handgun hunters desire. They want penetration.
Yeah.
And I find this an interesting... and I don't want to get too deep into it and talk about archery and their and their things, but like you've mentioned a couple of times, like you want two holes. You mentioned on that elk, it didn't exit. You wanted it to exit. Go talk to heavy handgun hunters. They rely on penetration.
Right.
That's everything, right? They want straight line penetration. You know, you're shooting large calibers. It's putting a big hole in it. Sometimes all the way to really big, nasty stuff where I don't want it to penetrate or to expand at all. I just want it to put a big hole in it. I want it to just drive deep no matter what. Because as a bullet mushrooms and expands, it does what? It slows it down.
Right.
It has more frontal area, more resistance. The more that bullet mushrooms, the less it's going to penetrate.
Yeah. Right?
Unless there's still enough mass driving it forward. So with the Pioneer, we took the opportunity to say we're using a lead core projectile and we're going to hit weights that are above the standard to give those end users that desire heavy for caliber offerings in revolvers and in lever guns. So we did a 400 grain in 4570. You know, you did 180 grain in 357, 190 grain in 3030. So where you can really step it up and understanding that these aren't copper bullets, we're not relying on super high weight retention like a TSX. And so we're compensating for that by going heavy for caliber, deeper penetrating, you know, higher weight retention by having the benefit of that offering being outside of the norm. The other direction, you know, we talked about the benefits with the TTSX or TSX to go super light. These are the benefits of an original to go heavy.
Right. Yeah. Andy and I were on a call, was that 2 weeks ago, I guess now, with a group out of the Northeast that hunts whitetails, right? And they hunt a lot with like traditional lever action type rifles because they're literally tracking bucks through the snow. And the first time that they see the buck, it might be at 30 yards because it's super thick timber. You know, it's up in that Maine, North Minnesota, right? And I mean, they're doing literally just miles tracking deer, and they're shooting it. And when we started talking to them about like different offerings that we had and everything like that, because again, they're traditional, they absolutely fell in love with the idea of Pioneer and shooting those heavy for caliber originals. Like, for example, one of the guys shoots a 30-30 and he's like, dude, you have 190 grain. He's like, that's going to crush a deer. And also, because it's so thick, right, they might have a little bit of debris when that buck gets up out of its bed or figures out something's wrong and they're shooting something, because a lot of times the animal's moving or running, right? So it was super cool to hear that from them as they kind of learned about our stuff and wanting to do something with us, that we did have those like heavier offerings and doing it for these more traditional type of guys, if you want to call it that, with like lever action type stuff.
Yeah, they're cool. It's a cool option. I mean, like you mentioned the 190 grain, you know, that really, if a guy wants to go hunt elk with a 30-30,
right,
I mean, that's a load to use.
Yeah. I mean,
obviously your range is, you're probably within 100 yards.
Right.
But
I mean, a 30-30 is not a,
yeah,
you know, it's a 150 yard gun anyway, right?
Unless you're Mitchell, he tries to shoot elk with them at stupid distances.
Did you try to shoot an elk with a 30-30?
No,
I
don't even know I'm a 30-30.
I'm just making stuff up.
So I've always thought it'd be fun to do that though, stalk them through the thick woods, like in the Uintas, where it's just thick pines.
And
find a track when it snows and just
have track
a 45-70 or 30-30 and just try to get close.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely was talking to those guys because, you know, I mean, I've hunted whitetails truly kind of like all over the country, right? But that's one place that I haven't, is up in that Northeast and the New England, you know, the big woods type of stuff. And I really want to, because I think that would be very interesting, especially for a guy that grew up hunting the South where it's, you know, just swamp and, you know, you never see any snow or anything. But, you know, I go back to, obviously, I did the bison thing earlier this year, right, and shot the 45-70, shot the 400 grain original, and I mean, it just absolutely crushed it. And that's where proving the penetration. I mean, I shot that bison at 120, 130 yards, right, for a 45-70. I mean, that's starting to be a little bit of a poke out there,
right?
And full penetration, never found a single bullet on any of those, right? So, with that, I got an invite, and I don't think that we've really talked about it. I was talking to Kagan about it earlier, but I got an invite to do a bear hunt down in the Southeast. And one of the things that I started thinking about was, like, it'd be cool to go shoot one with a 30-30.
Yeah.
I started hunting with a 30-30. That was my first rifle that I ever hunted with. I killed, like, my first, like, dozen whitetails down in the Southeast with a 30-30. And, you know, I think it'd be cool to kind of go back and hunt the Southeast, because this is, like, South Georgia. And I haven't hunted down there in so long for big game. You know, I've hunted turkeys and some hogs and stuff like that. But, like, to go back and do, like, a big game hunt and kind of go back to my roots and shoot a 30-30 would be, like, super fun. Obviously, I know that Kagan, you know, he recently did bear hunt with his daughter, right? And she shot a 45-70 with the original or with Pioneer, right?
Yeah.
Was she shooting copper or was she shooting
originals? Can't remember which one he ended up using. He was going back and forth on which one.
Yeah.
She might have shot copper.
Okay. But I think her shot was 30 yards, maybe something like that, and just absolutely crushed that bear and actually killed the bear so quickly as it was falling. It bit the branch and was holding off the ground because
it was wild. You seen that video?
I did,
That's crazy. It was super interesting. So
yeah, I think it was the 300 grain TSX flatnose in the Pioneer.
I mean, but again, shooting a black bear at 30 yards with a 45-70, I think that thing's gonna crush.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you got any more ideas?
I do.
Okay, go for it.
I guess I have one more example I'm gonna share from, like, a personal comparison, and then I'll let you guys, obviously, if you have anything else. But I do have, like, a closing recap.
Okay.
So one more example I'll bring up, 280 Ackland proved.
Okay.
I've had a friend ask, he recently used one to hunt a mountain goat.
Okay. I think we shared a story about that.
We did. Travis Ryan.
That's right.
Killed a mountain goat in Montana with it. He's a 280 Ackley fan as well. I've looked at it personally because I've loaded the 139 LRX. I've actually loaded the 145 LRX before we even had the 139.
Okay.
Mine is a fast twist. It's a 1 in 8.44. I've loaded the 168 LRX. Some older 280 Ackleys I had, not the rifle I have today, I used to load the 150 TTSX.
Okay.
So I've shot a little bit of different bullets in a 280 Ackley. I currently shoot the 152 that we load in the Vortex LR ammo.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've mentioned the 160 grain in the 7PRC. It's an awesome bullet. We've talked about it multiple times.
Right.
We did launch the 152 as a reloading component.
That's right.
That bullet.
After a lot of requests.
After a lot of requests. So I will bring that up. It's a great bullet.
And it's actually selling quite a bit, I think.
Yeah, if you want to hand load the 152, it's a great option for the 280. But we have the 160 LRX 284 as a component as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you want just the all-out extreme long-range performance and you have a fast twist,
right,
you could look at that.
Like, that's super important to understand, right, is that 1 in 9 for average for a 280.
Yeah, yeah, that's the standard.
1 in 8.
Yep, standard is 1 in 9. That's why with the ammo, we developed the 152. We tried to go as heavy as we could, balancing velocity, accuracy, BC, all of those factors. But what I want to get at is I've looked at myself to say, okay, if I'm hand loading the 152, I've shot the 139s. They're awesome. I've killed deer with them. I've killed elk with them. My brother killed his big bull in Utah with the 280 Ackley and a 168 LRX. It worked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all work.
Yeah.
So I will clarify by that. At the end of the day, you can get so deep and wrapped around the axle on these. They're all going to work.
Yeah.
The 139, the 145, the 152. But Travis reached out to me and said, which one should I shoot?
Yeah.
Should I load the 139? Should I load the 145? Should I load the 152? Should I load the new 160?
Yeah.
And so I really kind of deep dove into the numbers and compared them. And this is where I was mostly looking at the 152 and the 160 because I'm loading the 152 now.
Yep.
Should I hand load the 160 LRX in my 280 Ackley? I can stabilize that. I have a fast enough twist. I'm shooting at high elevation, you know, air density where I'm at. It'll stabilize and have good BC with the 160. This is where I ended up. Out to 300, 400 yards, doesn't matter. They're all going to work awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's practical, simple terms. If you're shooting and you're potentially going to have shots 500-600 yard range, I think the balance of velocity with the 152 and the BC and where that bullet functions, I'm still going to go with the 152.
Over the 139?
Over the 160. Okay. I'm mostly looking at those
160,
two.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. The 139, it's close enough. I honestly think it's a wash.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're going to gain a little velocity. You're going to lose some in BC.
Right.
It's probably a wash. Both bullets are going to function similar.
Well, again, I think that goes back to application, right? Are you hunting elk or are you hunting mule deer,
right,
for example, right?
Generally, with like my 280 Ackley, I want one load that's just going to work for both.
Yeah.
But I was really diving deep on, should I load the 160 LRX or should I just keep shooting the 152 LRX? And where I ended with is out to 500 yards, the 152 is the way to go. It's flatter shooting. It's higher velocity. It's higher impact velocity. It still does awesome in wind drift. It has a good enough, we've talked about that already, it has a good enough BC with the advantage of muzzle velocity. Past 500 yards. Okay, now I want to back up quick and say most people probably are not going to, I think if we're honest with ourselves, even when we're hunting open country, most people probably aren't going to take shots past, I'm going to even say 500-600 yards.
Yeah.
But if you really, you have to go beyond 600, I'd even say.
Yeah.
To really start to see the benefits of that 160. Now, if you pull ethics out of it, which you can't do, but from a pure just technical science perspective of looking at numbers, if I pull ethics out of it, 800 yards, 900 yards, 1,000 yards, the 160 has the edge.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. You're going to give up that muzzle velocity for that big benefit of BC. You start looking at a 4.7, you know, 0.47, give or take BC, versus point, what is it, 608, yeah. That's a big jump in BC.
Yeah.
You know, and if you start running the numbers, even though you started out slower, guess which one's going faster at 700 yards? The 160.
Yeah, because it's retaining that energy, right?
Yeah, and it has more velocity and energy.
Yeah.
It has less wind drift. You're now impacting at a higher velocity. So that's kind of where you have to really stand back and say, what's your application? What's your game? You know, chances are you going to encounter game past 500 yards or within 500 yards? What limits do you put on yourself as a hunter? You know, we talked about long range hunting multiple times already, but again, it's an interesting one. Travis ended up using the 152.
How far was this shot?
I think like 380 something yards.
Okay.
Somewhere right around there. Worked awesome.
Yeah.
So he could have used the 139. He could have used the 160. They'd all work too, right. But it's fun. I mean, that's, I think part of it is we like options and we have options.
Well, and I think that also, I mean, we haven't even gotten into this, right? Is like figuring out what your gun likes as well to an extent, you know, for however long your barrel is or whatever, right? Like there might be some harmonics that for whatever reason, a 139 is better than the 152 versus the 160, whatever.
And I know we've talked about diving into barrel length, so I don't want to get too deep here, but you bring up a good point with that. How long's your barrel?
Right.
You know, if we've talked multiple times, we all like to shoot suppressed. You know, you just put together a 20 inch 7 PRC.
Yep.
You know, and
I just put together a 26 inch 280.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I'm actually getting more speed out of what I should be. You're losing speed. It's,
you know, that's a good example though. You can shoot a 160 grain and a 20 inch 7 PRC and still get good velocity.
Yeah.
If I'm going to cut my 280 Ackley off to 20 inches, I definitely don't want to shoot the 160 grain.
Right.
You know, that's where you're going to pick a lighter. Even
that 152 might start to lose.
Maybe you want to step down to the 139
right.
and get velocity back up because you have a shorter barrel.
Yeah.
So there's other factors to consider for sure.
Yeah.
I think everyone needs a fast light option in their gun safe.
There you go.
I mean, it's almost like I feel like we definitely trended that light tends to be better for most use cases, most on this podcast. I would love to hear what the audience, you know, are they on the light and fast side, or do they want heavy and hit hard, if you want to call it that, right?
Yeah. More weight equals more power. That's
sometimes.
Do you believe in that?
No.
No, absolutely.
That's what people tell me.
It's what people think.
Yeah.
And again, 7 PRC 160 grain, a 30 cal magnum fast twist with a 208 grain, a 300 super wisdom with a 212 bore rider. There are absolutely those use cases where heavier for caliber, super high BC, those cases have enough velocity to launch them at an adequate velocity to have reasonable downrange. You know, but you're right. I think for most people that are hunting and 300-400 yards is a far shot, I'd go light. Take advantage of the copper bullet, the monolithic bullet, step down in weight.
Take advantage velocity of that velocity.
Up, get velocity up, better expansion. You know, you're going to impact at a higher velocity. We already went through it. You have a shorter time of flight.
Right.
Like there's definitely something to be said there when you look at our light for caliber options.
But I mean, everybody tells you right now that you need to shoot heavy, heavy, heavy.
It's a trend. it's a trend.
Again, it's you got to look at BC too.
Right.
Yep.
Into that ballistic calculator, that's the only thing that matters. So you look at the 7 PRC 160 versus traditional 170, 175. That 160 grain has a pretty dang good BC that competes with bullets that are 10, 15 grains heavier.
Right.
Yeah.
So educate yourself. And a really cool app, actually, Ballistic Explorer is probably one of my favorites to compare two trajectories.
Yeah.
You can pull up two entries and you can modify the velocity and the BC, and then you can see them side by side. There's other better ballistic calculators, I would say, for in the field use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But looking at two trajectories side by side is super helpful, because I get questions all the time at trade shows. Should I do this or should I do this? How much difference is it going to make? And I'm like, I don't know. Just go find out. Go run it.
Yeah.
You just type in muzzle velocity and BC, and that's really all you need.
Yeah.
You need weight for energy, but I mean, do your homework yourself and kind of just mess around with it and do what Greg did with the 7 mag. Do the 139, the 140, the 150, the 160, and say, okay, that 139 is a mean little bullet.
Yeah.
That's probably what I should go with.
I know. I want to load up my 280 net right now. Pretty bad. I mean, and what's crazy is that it's only 13 grains, right? But it's like we're kind of estimating, because we haven't shot it yet. Technically, we could do a little bit different powder and more powder and blah, 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 right? But, you know, I think it's going to get another 75 foot per second, maybe 100 foot per second faster, right? So it's like, that's quite a bit of gain velocity.
I bet we can get 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we haven't done a podcast in a while.
It's been fun. A minute. It is fun. It's a good conversation.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody's enjoying this. And yeah, again, check out new merch that we have on our website. And if you have any questions, please send them in to podcast@barnesbullets.com. And thanks for listening to another Barnes Bullets podcast.